Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Thursday afternoon just before Friday. Monday morning podcast, and I'm checking in on you. I got to save my voice today because I'm going to go do some F's for Family stuff. Remember that show? Came out in December. We're still working on season two, so I bring it up every once in a while so you don't forget about us. I'm going to go, You write them, then you record them, and then you look at them with the sort of roughed out animatics, as they're called, and then you're like, well, that didn't work. I don't think that's going to be funny. And then you got to punch shit up, and it's weird. Stuff on the page and shit that's on the table read. All of a sudden, when you draw it, you line it up with the characters. Sometimes, you know, things that you thought were going to work don't, and then other things that you didn't think much of do work. So we're doing all that shit. So anyways, old Freckles was recording yesterday, and took my old truck out, the old 68 F-100. Three on the tree, having a great fucking time. It's got AC, and I still don't use it. I haven't used it in so long, I actually don't remember how to turn it on. Because when they put it in, they showed it to me, and, like, it doesn't line up to what it says. Like, literally, you move it over to, like, heat, and cold air comes out or some shit like that. It's kind of part of the fun of owning the thing. And I gradually figured it out, but, you know. As long as you're not sitting in traffic and you're driving along, you get the little triangle windows open, you blow air in, and it's cool. So I went to leave the record, and LA is just a relentless place when it comes to traffic. It's has like this sixth sense, like it knows what you're trying to do, and they do everything they can to prevent you from taking any time off of your trip. They put up concrete barriers. They have right turns only, not a through street. They're just like, fuck you. There's one way to go home. Everybody get on it. And they just funnel you down this thing, and they go, just sit in it and listen to your books on tape until you get to your house. That's basically how it works. So every once in a while, you try to make a move. I got to be honest with you. When I see other people making a move and they pull it off, I always think, hey, good for him. Good for her. Nice move. So I'm sitting there going, I go out. I want to go left. I want to jump on the 10, right? You can't go left. You can only go right. So I go right, and I'm like, ah, fuck me. And I'm watching all these cars passing me going the direction I want to go. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm going to be behind all these motherfuckers. Do the right thing, Bill. Go up to the light to make a left, and then make another left, and then another left, and then a right to fucking, you know, whatever. Do it properly. And I'm sitting there waiting to make this left. And all of a sudden, the oncoming traffic just trickles to a stop. And there's just like, there's a little entranceway into a strip mall. So I'm like, why don't I just bang a UE right here? Look around. I don't see any car. Well, one cruiser had just gone by, but he was all the way up the way, you know. So I think he's got his eyes front. So I say, fuck it. And I bang a little U-turn. And I'm riding along. I'm like, ah, oh, that was great. You know, running through the gears. Wind's coming in. Driving an old pickup truck. America, right? I'm having a great time. And all of a sudden, I look behind me. Go, oh, look at that fucking motorcycle, man. I'm a motorcycle guy. I like it. Let's check it out. See what's going on with that fucking motorcycle. And then I go, oh, that's a cop. And I was like, well, he's not doing anything, so he didn't see me. And then I just started thinking how funny it is, or weird, or whatever you want to call it, that they ride on BMWs now. Instead of Harley Davidsons, you know, you want to talk about not patriotic. You know, you want to talk about people standing or sitting down during an anthem. Our own fucking police officers are on BMWs. It's a great bike, though, from what I heard. Anyways, so he's just behind me or whatever. And then, like, we're inching along traffic. He's behind me for like 5 minutes. Now we make a left to get on the 10, the highway. And then all of a sudden, he turns on his lights. Whee! And I'm sitting there going, I wonder who he's after. And he's sort of zigzagging. He's on a motorcycle, so it's hard to fucking tell who he's after. So I finally just, like, I point at myself, like me, and he nods. So I'm like, ah, fuck, is there something going on with my registration? Because at this point, the U-turn was like 6-7 minutes ago, so I don't remember it, right? So I fucking pull over, right? And the guy gets off his bike. And right out of the gate, his fucking head does not fit the helmet. His face is all mushed in. He looks like fucking Eli Manning. So I let out a chuckle before he gets up there. And I'm like, Bill, get your fucking game face on. If you're going to get out of this, you can't be fucking laughing at the guy, right? So he comes up with his face all fucking mushed in the thing. And he goes, yeah, hey, he goes, you made an illegal U-turn back there, right? I'm thinking, how the fuck did this guy see it? Oh, by the way, the cruiser that went by me, he crossed, he made a left, and just fucking pulled in a store and did a big U-turn in the store. The exact fucking thing that I did. So I'm sitting there going, this motherfucker, I know what happened. He didn't even, I built this whole conspiracy in my head. I'm like, this fucking mushed up face son of a bitch, he didn't even see what I did. The fucking asshole in the cruiser told him what I did, and then he pulled me over. And then I'm thinking, then I fucking, when I cooled off, I was like, no, he was probably hiding, right, in a place I couldn't see, because people probably do this all the time there. It's a little fucking trap. They make a ton of fucking money, and you're the dope who got caught today. And all he did was wait till you got to a place where he was going to pull you over. Meanwhile, he ran your plate and made sure you didn't have any felonies, so he knew what you were, he was walking up to. That's probably what the fuck happened. So he fucking pulls up. License and registration, then I give him my fucking insurance, and I had the wrong insurance card in there. You know, it's going downhill quick. So he ended up being cool. He came up, and he was just like, look, I'm not going to write you for the insurance, but just sign this. It's an admission of guilt. Even though I knew I was guilty, it was fucking annoying. So, you know, I signed the thing. And he goes, we trying to get on the tent? I'm like, yeah. He goes, just go up here, make a right, make another right, go around. And I appreciated that he did. So he wasn't a bad guy. All right, but oh, that fucking annoying. Yeah, you know, that's when you start getting all, you start being that white guy. I'm a taxpayer, you know, get all indignant. It's like, fuckhead, you broke the law. You knew you broke the law. You knew you were breaking it when you were doing it. You were looking around for him. Aren't you really just mad? Aren't you really just mad that you didn't see the guy? Isn't that what it is? No, the younger me wouldn't have been able to get to that place. So that's it. And then I just fucking drove home. So there's my little ticket story. By the way, on the Monday morning podcast, I mentioned when I'd watched the last F1 race, Lewis Hamilton, how he got those grid penalties, and I didn't know what they were for. This is kind of interesting. This is almost like a salary cap in F1. Now, granted, I only read this once. I'm new to the sport. So people who watch the sport, if you want to help me out, you don't have to say, hey, fuckhead, before, you know, you correct me. But basically, for people who don't watch the shit, it's kind of cool. You're only allowed to use so many parts over the course of the year. And it was basically done to keep the price of racing down. It's almost like a salary cap. Now, to me, I would think that Ferrari, Mercedes, and the likes have, like, unlimited funds, but whatever. So you're only allowed to use so many different engine parts or whatever. So Lewis Hamilton, I guess, had an engine or something, or two or something, blow earlier in the season. I don't know what the fuck happened. I forget. All I know is that he used too many parts, so he got an for each, like, violation, you get moved back so many places. Like, so say you're in the pole position, you're going to start number one, and you get dinged for, I don't know, using a fucking, I don't know, too many radiators. And say that's like a five-spot penalty. Now you went from number one, now you start at number six. Well, Hamilton's team got an unprecedented 50, whatever, grid penalty. So he went from all the way in the front to dead last, the 25th. Now here's the weird thing. Like, those penalties don't carry over. So he took all 50, only moving back 25, wiped them all off the map, and the guy went from 25th to 3rd. He still got on the fucking podium. So they got to use all these extra parts, and he really didn't pay for it. So it was kind of a great, it was a very shrewd move, evidently, by the Mercedes team. So there you go. See, I learned a little something. You know what else I learned? This is really, really embarrassing. So I got on the scale. Like, I worked out like 2 days in a row, did 45 minutes of cardio both days to just knock a few pounds off before I had the balls to do my weigh-in. Jesus Christ. It's the biggest number I've ever put up. All right. I guess I stepped on the scale and I go, man, I'm feeling like a buck 83, buck 84. I was 189.8. And I just walked the dog around the block. So I was over a buck 90. I've never seen the nine. I've never seen the nine in the second position since I've been in like the fucking seventh grade or sixth grade, and I weighed 90 pounds. terrifying. And of course, I got a special coming up. So now I'm back to eating as perfectly as I know how to, and just totally working out. And what's cool is the first week, whenever you go to lose weight, for people out there, because I know everybody struggles with it, that first fucking week, if you go hard and you eat perfect, I mean, you can lose like 3 to 4 pounds easy if you're my build. If you're a big motherfucker, you could probably lose even more than that, because it's like a percentage of your body weight. And it's basically because your body, I think, is so used to laying around eating a cheese plate, finishing off a bottle of wine like you're some fucking pirate that took over somebody's boat. That's the way I was living. I didn't tell you guys this. When we were in the Amalfi Coast, in the room, they had a bottle of Johnny Walker Black, and I started just sipping on that thing like every day, like earlier and earlier. And then I got like this weird fucking OCD slash, you know, played a lot of sports growing up. So you get that competitive thing, like this fucking bottle thinks it's going to defeat me. And I just started doing a third, just just knocking it out. I fucking finished 2 bottles when I was over there in 10 days, man. It was fucking bad. It was bad, but oh, was it a good time? I had a nice glow going from, as they say back east. Dude, I got a good glow going, right? From like, it started at like around 11 in the morning, you know? I'm on vacation, fuck off, right? And I would just keep this glow going until like lunchtime. And then I wouldn't eat for like an hour. I mean, wouldn't drink for an hour or so. So it'd start coming down. I'd just slam a couple of waters so I wouldn't get like that mild hangover. And then we'd go see some shit. And then I'd come back. I'd have another couple, 2, 3. Then we'd go out to dinner. Old fucking Billy Red Velvet face, red velvet cake there. I'd go out and I'd have some pasta, right? And you know what? They kept saying like that was a secondary dish. So I'm like, well, I got to go 2 and then 1. So I would do that. And then I would also order a main course, which, by the way, I learned on Below the Deck, the way we call it an entree is stupid, because that's actually the French word for enter, meaning basically an appetizer. So the English guy on there is like, stop calling it an entree, you fucking Americans, right? So the main course, I was ordering like a fucking risotto. I'd order, you know, ravioli or some fucking spaghetti bolognese. And then I would have some fish after that. And I was fucking drinking a giant bottle of wine, you know? I was going like, you know, rest his soul, James Gandolfini, right? I was living the fucking high life. And then I'd come home and then I'd have another couple, 2 or 3. Right? I was going Keith Richards with the shit. And I was kind of forgetting how many calories that was. But every morning I'd get up and I'd fucking get on the elliptical for a good half hour. I'd throw the weights around and I'd swim in the Mediterranean. I was thinking like, and you know what the deal? And I was thinking that I was actually keeping it at bay. Like I was doing all right. But you know the deal. You can do an hour of cardio. And if you eat 3 Oreo cookies, you basically, and you can eat 3 Oreo cookies, you know. You can eat them like the Cookie Monster. You can eat them in like 8 seconds. Or you can be a gentleman and basically eat 3 Oreo cookies in 90 seconds. Just watching TV, not thinking, eat one, just sit there. I mean, if you eat 3 Oreo cookies while not paying attention to the sleeve of cookies that's next to you and it takes you 90 seconds to eat it, you are a gentleman. You are a lady. You were raised right, okay? But even then, in that 90 seconds, you can negate everything that you did for fucking an hour. It sucks. So I wasn't really thinking like that. So I came back and I was 189.8. So I've been fucking hitting it hard. Got on the scale today. I was 186.2. I got to get down to about $170, $172 for my special. So that's what I'm doing. And now I'm just driving by liquor stores. And last night I took Nia out. You know, we had a great night, great summer night out here. I took her out to get some gelato. And I was like literally staying in the car because it's like, I'm not going to go in there. I'm not going into the crack store as a crackhead and fucking say, I don't want any crack. That's not going to work, right? But she did the woman thing like, man, but it's not going to be any fun if I go in there by myself. So I'm like, fuck. All right. I go in and I'll fucking drive around the course. So I drive around the block, fucking park the old Prius, right? And I fucking go in there. And like, there's just the smell of sugar in the air was like, so palpable. I can't believe I wasn't like literally like feeling the grains of it, the granular texture of it going up my fucking nose. And I was just like, no, I'm good. I'm good. She's like, you sure? You just want a bite? I was like, no, no. I'm a crackhead. You just want to take one hit off the pipe? It's like, no, I'm going to be back on it. So I just sat there white knuckling it. Fortunately, there was this young couple that had a little puppy Weimaraner, however you say it. So I got to play with that thing a little bit. But then I look over in the corner and they had fucking, they had like root beer, which is my favorite, you know, other than that, than the orange Fanta, the Mexican one with the real fucking sugar, right? Which really makes me nervous about the wall that Trump wants to build. I mean, does that mean that we don't get the real Coke, you know, with the real sugar in it, as opposed to the fucking hybrid sugar that they've been putting in our shit since the late 70s? And whenever the fuck they did it, I didn't research it. But I was able to get out of there. And then we just took the dog for a walk while she ate an ice cream. Good, clean fun. I came home. And by then, I was already going like... So like tequila. Tequila doesn't have a lot of calories, right? If you have like a tequila with like a little bit of lime. And my wife's going, no. And she was laughing. She goes, look at you caving already. And she goes, I thought it was vodka. I don't know which one, right? So I'm sitting there. And I'm standing staring at my fucking liquor cabinet, which I would put up against the 96 Bulls, the 86 Celtics, the 85 Lakers, the 1927 Yankees. I would put my bottles up against that. Huh? You want to go Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig? I got fucking, I got Pappy Van Winkle. I got fucking Johnny Walker Blue. I got this fucking top of the shelf tequila. I haven't looked like, I don't fuck around. Like that's what I like is because I don't want to drink and drive or anything. And I also don't want to go out to fucking bars at this point. I'm too fucking old. So what I like, what helps is if you buy top of the line booze, you're just sitting at home like, why would I go out to pay 10 times more for fucking 10 times less, right? Why would I go out for hamburger when I got steak at home, kid? So I'm looking at this. It's like the fucking Oscar red carpet. Of fucking bottles of booze. You know, I got some bullshit in there. I got some bullshit for like when I want to get fucked up. You know what I mean? When I want to get fucked up, it's basically, well, I'll take you through my fucking alcoholism here. When I want to get fucked up, when old Billy Red Cakes wants to get fucked up, I like a little Maker's Mark. You don't give a shit. Like, Maker's Mark is like the Mississippi River. I mean, it's never going to run out. It just keeps coming down the pipe. You know what I mean? The other shit is for like special occasions, you know? So, I'll drink that or Johnny Walker Black. What else? Or a Patron Silver. You know, I got a lime tree out in the front yard. It's one of the greatest things about living in L.A. is you can have a lime tree. You know what I mean? And honestly, you're just like, how much fucking guacamole can I make here? You know, I either got to get some sort of drinking habit or these things are all going to go to waste. And I'll tell you right now, you get a giant fucking square ice cube. How thirsty am I making the fucking alkies right now? You get a giant square fucking ice cube. And you stick that in a highball glass. You pour a high-quality fucking tequila over the top of that, right? And you squeeze a freshly picked fucking lime off your tree. You go out on your porch on a hot summer day and you drink that fucking thing. I swear to God. It's over, man. It's over. You just, I don't know what you feel like. You feel like it's the 1800s, you know? Which I don't want to make people who aren't white get all nervous because that was not a good time for them. But for a white guy, you know, it was pretty cool. You know, things had settled down with the people who used to be there who now weren't. You could come rolling in afterwards, get yourself a spread, right? Sit out there. Would you be drinking tequila, though? I don't fucking know. You know, there really is like 52 versions of U.S. history. It all depends on who tells it and how you remember it and how fondly or unfondly you remember it. Anyways. So I sat there staring at it. I was like, no, not tonight. Maybe tomorrow. If you want to have a drink, have it tomorrow. And I went to fucking bed. I had a little bit of water. And then that was it. And I'm glad I didn't give in to the fucking ice cream. I didn't give in to the booze. Jesus Christ. I had a fucking turkey slices with a set. And it was the fucking, like they took it out of the oven kind of turkey. All right? Not the fucking filled with salt. Cold cut turkey. It was right out of the oven turkey. So basically, I had a turkey that probably had its beak cut off and was pumped with some sort of cow hormone. So that's about as healthy as you can get nowadays. But anyways, I got to fucking turn this. I got to turn the ship around here. So I got to go hard here over the next month. And being at home is not going to be a difficult thing, but it's going to be difficult when I'm on the road, which, by the way, you didn't ask. Next week, I will be on the road, and I'm doing the makeup show, that Long Island show out on Long Island. This is the one that I was supposed to do back in, I believe, January when I was coming back east to do the Patrice O'Neill benefit. And unfortunately, there was so much snow back there, and there was like 3 days worth of backed up flights. I just couldn't get in, so I had to reschedule it. So now I am finally coming back, and that is going down on September 7th. And hopefully my website will load here. All right, and then after that, I go to Charleston, South Carolina, one of the greatest and most underrated cities in the United States of America, Charleston, South Carolina. Okay, if you're a little bit older and your kids are out of the fucking house, or if you're an old soul like me, that is a fucking great place to take your lady. It is, it's unbelievable. Right along the water, and it's just like, it's the old South. You know when Hollywood makes movies about the old South and they just sort of ignore slavery? You know those, that's what it looks like. There's nothing horrific going on. It's just the charming houses, the amazing fucking weather, and that laid-back vibe. And you just walk around the town. It's absolutely fucking gorgeous. It's Mayberry, right? And there's some sort of wine place there that has cigars in the back. And I remember being there. It was me, Verzi, Jason Lawhead, and his dad, the legendary Jim Lawhead, Hall of Fame high school basketball coach. We all sat out smoking cigars and having a glass of wine, just out on the sidewalk, telling stories. And Lawhead was killing us, just fucking acting out all the stories. It's just one of the great fucking nights on the road I've ever had. So I'm very excited to come back there. Then I go into Charlotte, North Carolina. Charlotte International Speedway. They're four wide coming around that turn. Or is it three wide? That's when everybody gets excited and they stand up. We're going to see a wreck. Charlotte, North Carolina, and home of the great Ric Flair. Woo! Then I go up to Chrysler Hall in Norfolk, Virginia. And after that, I think I'm in Richmond. Let me click here. Richmond on September 11th. Never forget. And that's September 11th. So that's the deal right there. I'm doing a quick little run there through the South. And I might as well take you through all my dates here. Then I'm going the next week, September 15th, 16th. I'm in Durham, North Carolina. Oh, 15, 16, 17. Oh, would you look at that? Madison, Wisconsin, the 29th and possibly the 30th. And then I'm in Omaha, Nebraska on the 1st. And guess what? The Nebraska Cornhuskers. Oh, Nelly, they're going to be swapping some paint with the Fighting Illini out of Illinois. Down in Lincoln, so I'm with Nate Craig on that one, and we're gonna fly in early, and we're going to drive down and make sure that we hit that game. I've always wanted to go to a Nebraska game. I believe Lovey Smith is with Illinois. Who the fuck? I know Nebraska got a good coach. Didn't they get an NFL coach? I know back in the day they got that dude from the Raiders, and it didn't fucking work out. But, you know, Nebraska was a powerhouse when I was a kid for a long fucking time. And actually one of the best college championship games I saw was when the Miami Hurricanes beat them like right in the end, you know, with Jimmy Johnson. How about them Cowboys, right? And so I just remember all of those guys. Turner Gill, Mike Rozier, all that. So they got a guy, Mike Riley. I don't know who that guy is. Who the fuck is Mike Riley? I don't know. Hopefully he's a good coach, and hopefully this is going to be a great game. Either way, it's going to be legendary to go there, so I'm very excited about that. All right, so that's it. All right, now with that, let's do a little bit of the reads here for this week. All right. Oh Jesus! It's our old friends, old Zip. Recruiter, are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, You need to post your job on all of the top websites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your jobs to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook, Twitter, all with a single quick click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 100 million businesses. And right now, I'm listening. My listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Burr. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Burr. One more time. Hey! Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Burr. All right. MeUndies. Oh, Jesus. These are two classics. This is like the Who and the Stones of advertising, back to back. All right. MeUndies. MeUndies. No more drinking booze. MeUndies. MeUndies. You fat fucking flus. Your fucking stomach hangs over your underwear. You don't care because it's nice and soft. Your balls get cradled like you're in the womb when you put on a pair of MeUndies. Oh, yeah, they won't ride up your ass unless you want it. Okay, MeUndies. Whether you're wearing a suit or sweats, you spend almost 24 hours a day in your underwear, unless you're Matthew McConaughey. But instead of making a statement like Superman's tights under his everyday clothes, your underwear is probably boring. MeUndies is here to change that. What if you get a blowjob, right? You're going to get one. The lady down in customer service, you wore her down. She's like, fine, fine. I'll meet you in the fucking unisex bathroom, right? She goes to take down your fucking Dockers, and then you're just standing there in a pair of tighty whities, or maybe just a regular old pair of fucking gray boxes that she got at the Gap. And she starts having second thoughts, going, well, this is just another dick on the fucking resume. I don't need this. With the social pressures of, you know, what is the number where I start to become a whore? Why, it is my body. And she starts having all that. Meanwhile, your dick's standing over there like, hey, can we have a little fucking help over here? And the whole thing goes away. Well, MeUndies is here to change that. Every pair of MeUndies is made from sustainable source modal, a fabric that is twice as soft as cotton. Nothing can describe the fit and feel of MeUndies. But once you try them on, you'll understand why they are called the world's most comfortable underwear. Yeah. And if you don't love your first pair of MeUndies, they're free. No questions asked. MeUndies has dozens of styles. Oh my God, look at that one. And limited edition prints to help you make a statement with your underwear, whether anyone can see them or not. Remember Superman. To me, that's their code of saying, remember, you know, you're going to get your dick sucked at some point, right? You know, why not give her a show first? You know, bum, ba, ba, da, ba, yeah, ba, 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 ba. What's the song during the finale? Right? That's what she wants to see. Little fireworks down there. You know what I mean? You know how broads are. You could have the shittiest car. If you got a nice interior, all of a sudden, hey, you know, this is just nice. I feel comfortable. Feeling a little loose and free. Shipping is free in the U.S. and Canada, and you can save up to $8 a pair with MeUndies subscription plan. Get the subscription or a single pair. Get 20% off your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/Burr. That's MeUndies.com/Burr for 20% off your order. Hey! MeUndies.com/Burr. By the way, you know what that reminds me of? I have a bone to pick with my wife. You know, I subscribe to Rolling Stone magazine, okay? And this sounds like I'm just telling a story while actually making money off those cunts. I'm not. So, you know, fucking the magazine comes today, and it's that fucking guy who does the talk show who fucking drives around with Adele and he sings songs and shit. You know what I mean? It's very like musical theater, like a slumber party can break out at any second, okay? So he's on the cover. Essentially looks like he's not wearing any clothes. He's laying stomach down, holding like a little sock teddy bear. You know what I mean? You know, that today's mail. How we went from Lee Marvin to that, I don't know what the fuck happened, right? So there's that dude, and I'm fucking cracking up going like, how hard is this guy working his female audience? Jesus Christ. It should have just been like a bubble over his head going, oh my God, you guys! Right? He's fucking eating some pudding. So anyways, I'm just sitting there laughing, and Nia's cracking up too. I don't give a shit if that's how he wants to live his life. God bless him. You know what I mean? But it's fucking hilarious. Maybe that was the purpose. Okay, but anyways, so somehow we talk about it, and she said, well, last week, Jared Leto was shirtless on the cover. And I'm going, really? Really? I don't remember seeing that fucking issue. She fucking swiped it. I'm really talking shit here. I'm going to have to bring her in for this. Because I was like, well, what'd you do with it? She goes, well, I just read the article. I was like, I bet you did, you fucking animal. So there you go. So my wife is, I think, mentally cheating on me with fucking Jared Leto. And you know what? Can you get mad, though? I mean, that would be really hypocritical of me. Because, you know, if I see a girl with a fat ass and some titties coming down the street, you know, I'm going to literally almost break my neck turning around to look at her right in front of Nia. And I always say, well, what do you want me to do? You want me to sit here and be like all these other guys and fucking, you know, out of the corner of my eye, like literally like strain my fucking whatever, the ACL of your eye, whatever the fuck that's called, your little eye tendon, looking at, you know, I've been telling for years, if you see a good-looking guy, just look at him. I know what I look like. I know where I am in the scale of 1 to 10. I'm in the middle of the pack, right? Lance is up front. I'm fucking in the back, you know, with all those other fucking people, you know, in the pendulum, whatever the fuck they call it. I don't understand those people. They really got to be sitting in the middle of the pack going, well, why are we doing this to ourselves again? You know, why are our legs like 15 sizes the size of our arms? People who ride on bicycles for a living, it's fucking unbelievable. Like, their legs look like Wile E. Coyote when he took that Acme shit. He drank those pills. It's one of my favorite ones where he runs really fast and it's just the flames going down the fucking road. That was the shit, but like, it did nothing for his upper body. That's what the guys in the Tour de France look like. You know, their arms look like little seventh grade arms. You know, like, everybody in my grade's taller than me, Mom. That's what their arms look like. But their legs, they look like Earl Campbell. I don't know. What am I talking about here? Anyways, yeah, I was saying, you know. So, it's like, I don't mind that you went and fucking, you know, fucking curled up with your little Jared Leto, modal fucking magazine cover. But, you know, you don't got to sneak around. You can say like, hey, Bill, this guy is way better looking than you, so I'm going to go downstairs privately and look at this. I get it. It's healthy. Every once in a while, right? anyways, what are we up to here? Oh, 33 minutes. Guess what? I did my fucking job for the week. By the way, if you would like to contribute to this podcast without really having to contribute, the easiest way to do it is to go to billbird.com, click on the homepage, and then you click on the link to Amazon. And then you go there. If you buy something, I get credit for driving traffic there. So next time you're going to buy something on Amazon, if you'd like to donate a little bit to the podcast, if I made you laugh or whatever, I would appreciate it. If you don't, I mean, it is an extra step. It is kind of a pain in the ass. And who's kidding who? You're busy. You got your own life. I get it. But, you know, if you got time, we'd appreciate it. All right. So that's the Thursday afternoon podcast here for this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm going to be fucking 183 pounds by next week. That's what I'm doing, right? No, 186. I'm supposed to be 186 by Tuesday. That's how it's working. Every Tuesday, I have a weigh-in. Every Tuesday, like the UFC, except I'm not tough and I'm not fighting, right? So 186, then 183, then 180, 177, 174, 171, and then I'll be right up against the special. If I just, you know, sort of go easy that fucking week, I can be about 170, 171. That'll be fucking perfect, and I'll come out there looking like a champ, you know? And then we'll see how the jokes hold up. And even if you don't like the jokes, just say, God damn it, he was really fit as a fiddle. He was fit as a fiddle. You got to give him that. All right. Enjoy the music here as we transition into some greatest hits of the Monday Morning Podcast from a podcast gone by in a year that's already happened. Or maybe it's this year, but the shit's already gone down. Keep on coming, was it kind?
this week. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I went there, and the second I walk in, I just can't, like, I don't buy into any of it. I went with Nia's mom. We went to church. And what I try to do when I go in there is go above all of it and try to, like, you know, connect with something like Whoopi Goldberg and Ghost. You know, try to connect with something else other than what they're saying. Like, literally, what they're preaching, it's like, you guys had the Holy Wars. You had the fucking Inquisition. I mean, you fucking, you know, when Jewish people after World War II were trying to get their shit back, like the amount of stuff that went into the Vatican. I mean, you were down with the Nazis. Like, how is this play? Like, how did Penn State lose all those victories? Right? Lost all those victories. And what happened to the Catholic Church? You know, I've talked about this a zillion fucking times. They have broken on a global level every major fucking commandment that there is. And they just sit there. Holy, holy, holy. Fucking tell me how to live my life. Yeah, I just don't buy into it. And then the money basket came around. I'm like, I'm not giving these motherfuckers shit. And I was with Nia's mom, and I was like, I don't want to be an asshole in front of her. So I threw $5 in there. $5. I just paid $5 for the fucking defense attorney in a pedophile case. Kind of telling me I'm not going to hell right then for being so goddamn stupid. Yeah, it was. Then they had the guy, they had this Irish tenor guy who was singing all the songs, keep in mind it. And he would do like this big conducting thing. He was like totally fucking into it to get the crowd going, right? He had this awful suit on that didn't fit him, you know? Looks like he ate donuts and shit. And the preacher gave him a fucking shout out.
He goes, this week, we would like to extend a congratulation to that guy over there who can't fit into his sport coat. For 20 years of singing songs here at this church, and I want to say here's to another 50 years here at this church. Everybody clapped, and it's like, he's going to be dead in 50. We're all going to be, I'll be dead. Well, maybe not, right? 94. What's the deal with dentures? That's going to be a sad fucking day. Me fucking wheeling my ass onto the stage fucking at 94 years old. You know, somebody with a Jetsons haircut interviewing me before the show.
Do you still enjoy it? Do you still enjoy
every night that I could get out there and bring a smile to people's faces?
Fucking sitting there, instead of like bottled water backstage, I'll have like vital organs being grown to be inserted in me before I go out there. That's like the level of, that won't be available to me. Dick Cheney will have that shit. He'll still be walking around. Anyways, what the fuck was I just talking about? Oh yeah, for another 50 years, there at that church. He's gonna be dead. Look at him. He's like 40 pounds over fucking weight. He's sliding into 50 at about 90 miles an hour without a helmet on. The way this guy's fucking eating. He's not going to make it. He probably has some fucking horrific collection of porn. He's not wearing a wedding ring. This fucking, he's sweaty. Like, what is he doing? This guy's sad. He has no fucking life. I feel bad for him. Let's get him a haircut. Get him a gym membership. And how about we make the last 7 years of his fucking life enjoyable? How about that? Why don't we go out and get a harlot for this guy? You know? The physical equivalent to a dozen donuts. He'll be able to relate. You know? I'm not even saying any of that's true, people. That's just what was going through my head when I was there. There was some guy in the pew. I hate that word, pew. In front of me. And he just looked like an evil motherfucker. You know, he was balding. He was like in his, he was like pushing 60. He was tan. He had fucking balding, but he still was dyeing his hair jet black. and he had a pinky ring and a bracelet on. Right there. Pinky ring and a bracelet. You're a dishonest motherfucker. All right? Unless you're a chick. If you're a guy and you're wearing that, you know, that Dr. Vinnie Bumbat's fucking outfit, that's it. You're a piece of shit. And he just, I don't know, when he looked over me, peace be with you. I want to be like, fuck you. Now, what do you mean? What, you know what it's for. Whatever the fuck you did since last Sunday with your pinky ring and your bracelet. I think, Jesus Christ, I think I was just sitting there judging people. You know, they had altar girls, you know, instead of the altar boys, just to keep the priests honest, you know, which I thought was brilliant. That's a brilliant way to keep them away from little boys, is to let girls do it. Because they were all girls. There was no boys there. What else can I trash about it? I can't even remember. You know, he gave the homily, and I didn't remember one fucking thing that he said. He wasn't mic'd well. I couldn't understand what he was saying. I don't know. That was my little trip to fucking church. But I went. But I went, and I actually saw the confessionals. And I was thinking, Jesus, this shit that I have to get off my chest. And then, but then I always think, like, why the fuck do I want to tell this guy? Why do I got to go in there, tell it to you, and then it goes, then you run it up the fucking line. You know? Fucking weirdo. You just want to hear all the bad shit that I did? Because you're not allowed to go out and fucking bang abroad? Ah, Jesus, Bill. You're just going over old fucking points you've already made. We get it. Oh, you don't like this shit. But it ain't enough. I passed the time away, I'm done. I think we've known, but it's better we've been shown.
It's Bill Burr. It's the Monday Morning Podcast, and I'm doing it on Tuesday because you know what? I did one yesterday, and I was in an airport again, and it just sucked. That's what happened. It started off good, you know what I mean? And then it was like Evel Knievel when he was jumping the Snake River, you know, and they fucking... they lit him off, you know, when he went across. You're like, holy shit, he's going to make it. The parachute came out, and he just fucking went straight down. So that's what happened. He went right into the fucking river, and somehow all he got was a bloody nose. That's what happened to me yesterday. I went to do the podcast as I was waiting to get on my JetBlue flight. Exit row was all set. Everything was great. And, you know, all of a sudden they said that we were switching planes. We had to get off the fucking plane. That's what happened. Then I was in the terminal, and then I was pissed in an airport again. And how many times have I done that on my podcast? Ooh, I'm Bill Burr. I'm in an airport. I'm not happy. You know what I mean? Do you really want to fucking hear that story again? And so I was getting self-conscious about that. That's what happened. Now, that's the real thing. That's what happened. Then I got self-conscious about it, which made me lose my train of thought. And the whole thing lost its fucking momentum, and the whole podcast went right down into the Snake River. And that's what happened, okay? And my nose was bleeding on the plane, and everybody thought I was doing coke, and I was trying to say that I wasn't. And then the stewardess was just like, is there a problem, sir? Is there a problem? You know, she waved the Patriot Act in my face. All right. So anyways, this is Bill Burr, as I mentioned, at the top of the podcast. If you're new to my page, I do one of these every single Monday. All right, and I have to think that somebody's new to my page because I had my big fancy special Sunday night. Why do I do this on Comedy Central? And if I had half a brain, I could give you some times as to when it's going to be replaying again, which, of course, I don't know. But I watched 3 seconds of it. because I can't stand looking at myself. And I thought it looked fucking awesome. And I was happy with it. And I want to, before I get into my bitching for the week and all that shit, which I really can't because I'm really happy about my special. So there won't be a lot of bitching. I shouldn't have said that because, you know, by the end of this, I'm going to be fucking bitching about something. But I just want to thank everybody who sent me emails telling me how much they liked it. That really means a lot to me. And I got to tell you something, man. I don't know about other comics, but I freak right before those things come out. You know what I mean? And I sit there thinking like, oh, my God, what if everybody thinks it sucks? And I'm like, no, no, dude, it's good. It's good, right? You liked it. You saw it. Yeah, I know, but what if people are fucking... I start playing that mental tennis, you know, as I'm standing in a Blimpy or a Subway trying to think what kind of bread I want to get when it's really all the same kind of fucking bread. I like how they got that little fucking little oven there, like they're... Like it's the old country, like you're in Europe. Oh, wow, and they're baking bread there. It's just such a fucking scam. Look at me, I'm already bitching. No, let's keep it happy. Keep it happy. So, yeah, so basically, yeah, I was kind of freaking, you know... You want people to like what you do, and if I liked who I was as a person and I was comfortable with myself, I would have no need to get on a stage and act like a jackass for a fucking hour for other people's approval that I've never even met. Okay, so there you go. So there. So anybody who was going to ask me that question, like, dude, do you get freaked out, like, before you have, like, a special coming out, like, do you know what I mean? Like, totally rolling on the floor, laughing my ass off. Yes, I do. I do, like, totally fucking freak out. All right. Okay, so anyways, before I get going here with the podcast, which is a day late, and hopefully not a dollar short, I apologize to all my regular listeners, all 14 of you. You know what sucks? I got a bunch of friend requests, and I thought I was finally going to be able to get up past fucking 28,000, and I added everybody. I was 28,900. In 92. I want to get to 29,000. God damn it. I swear to God, there's a fucking conspiracy here. And you know what it is? It's the fucking Rothschild family, and they're all over Facebook. And I'm telling you, that's the scam. That's the new scam. And it's time for you people to fucking wake up and realize that your social networking, internet rights and freedoms are being taken away from you. I'm Joe Biden. You know what? I don't even know who Joe Biden is. I've just been hearing his name in the background. Kind of like, he's like the Jonas Brothers in my cultural world. Like every time I walk by a magazine, it's either his face or the Jonas Brothers. And I don't know either one of their material. If the Jonas Brothers started singing a speech of Joe Biden and you told me that that was their number one hit and teenage girls loved it, I'd have to agree with you. Those Jonas Brothers really wear tight clothes, don't they? Is that why their hair is so curly? Thank you! All right, there's one for you. There's a little monologue joke for you. They really do. They just look really chunky, like they're going to be fat fucks when they get older, you know what I mean, which would be hilarious. Not like they're going to be obese, but they're going to have that fat, middle-aged face. And that's the big thing that nobody talks about when you get middle-aged like me, is trying not to have a fat, porky pig face. It's the weirdest thing. Even if you're in shape, you still get that. That fucking swollen head. The cheeks, you get the Winston Churchill face. You know? Jolly. You get the jolly, rosy cheeks. You know what it is? It's the booze, man. It's the fucking booze. Which I have laid off for about 2.5 weeks. I've had a beer and a half. I had a half a beer at the Uninformed taping that I did with Joe DeRosa, my XM radio show. I had half a beer at that, and let me tell you something. You stop drinking beer for 2 weeks, and you take a sip of a beer, it's one of the greatest things you've ever tasted in your life. It's delicious. Like, you ever watch Shawshank Redemption and Tim Robbins when he's sitting on the roof, and he gives that cunty fucking gorilla maniac guard tax advice, and all he wants is some suds, as he talks about. He talks about just the way he describes sitting on that roof. I guess it's Morgan Freeman's character describes drinking that beer. That always makes me want to drink a fucking beer, you know, just drink a 12-pack. There is a fucking fly in my apartment that he doesn't realize it, but his life is ending today. You know what I mean? I hate being like that, you know. I know it's just a fucking insect and shit. And, you know, you kill this, and then all of a sudden the bees start dropping off. But he's fucking obnoxious. You know when you have a house fly and it's been in your house for a couple of days, you know, start, you know, he's kind of like an athlete in the twilight of his career. It's like Brett Favre and the Jets, you know? It's exactly, look at that motherfucker sitting right there. I'm going to try to kill this. It's the first time I've ever tried to kill a fly right on my podcast. Is he on the inside? This is the big thing. You never know if it's, is it on the inside or the outside. All right, one, two, three. Motherfucker, I got you. Bam, right between the blinds. There you go. So someday when the insects take over, this podcast, this is what's going to take me down. Then I'll try to be like, no, that wasn't me. That was somebody else. I sold my act to my brother, just like that guy Gallagher. I sold the podcast to him, Bill Burr Part 2, when he was doing it. Oh, that was fucking satisfying. All right. You know, it'd be hilarious if somebody actually sent me a complaint. Can somebody send me an email complaining about the fact that I just murdered an insect, mocking those fucking PETA maniacs? You know what I'm saying? And I love animals, too, but I just hate groups. I hate groups of people because in order to get noticed, they just make a lot of noise, and they never come up with a good chant. And it's just, I don't know, it's just fucking annoying. It's annoying. Then they got to try to be shocking. You know, like, you know what really sucks and is those commercials that they make about cigarettes. Have you seen that? They always do some public demonstration. I don't even know what the fuck the name of those commercials are, but they're so fucking annoying that they just, they make me want to smoke. Just, I wouldn't smoke, but you know what I mean? I can't even explain it. It's just like, you know, they make me want to do something that I don't even want to fucking do. All right, whatever. You guys get the point, all right? Whatever, it's early. Somebody just sent me a text message. Joe Bartnick, comedian out of San Francisco via fucking Pittsburgh, said, we went to the UCLA Bruin game last night. That's another reason why I didn't do the podcast, because I got off the plane. I got off the plane over there, man. And Chi-Chi, get the yeho. And I went right over to the Rose Bowl, and I went to that UCLA Tennessee game. Fucking unbelievable game. Went into overtime, and UCLA won it. And I think I have a team out here. I got so fucking into that game. I'm telling you something. If you're into pro sports, take a second look at college football. I know everybody's psyched about the NFL. Dude, it's fucking bananas. It's unbelievable. Did I just say bananas? What a douche. I just really hate myself sometimes. It's fucking bananas. It's wacky. Who says bananas? You know, I just made myself sound like I go to games with one of those raccoon coats from the 1920s. Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah. But no, it's insane. You know, you got, like, the bands going crazy. The students are going crazy. They got all those chants and stuff. It's the closest thing America has to, like, you ever, like, watch those some of the soccer or football, as they call it, over in England? Where people are just going bananas. I said bananas again. Jesus Christ. If I say it one more time, I'm going to have to hang up on myself. When the fuck did I start saying bananas? You know what? That's on my friends and everyone around me in my life for not saying, dude, why the fuck do you say that? You really need to stop saying that. It's like some of my relatives in Boston who say pissa. You see that game, dude? Yeah, dude, it was pissa. They're like fucking in their 40s still saying that. It makes my fucking skin crawl. But then I'm saying bananas. All right, but anyways, I'm into college football. I'm doing a gig coming up in Austin, Texas, and I'm going to a Texas Longhorn Missouri game. I'm going to be there. So if you're one of the 100,000 fucking maniacs who are there going nuts rather than bananas, what's a good way to say bananas? Here's my podcast question for you. All right, and speaking of podcast questions, there's a segue for you. we're going to get into the podcast questions, but first, a moment from our sponsor. Last week, I talked about state capitals. Did you miss that episode? Well, maybe you should listen to that half hour of babbling. And I was kind of asking the question, is why the fuck is it always the second-rate city always seems to be the capital? You know what I mean? Like, it's never, you know, New York. It's not New York City. That's what you'd think it would be, but it's Albany, okay? You go to Illinois, it's not Chicago, it's Springfield. You go to Pennsylvania, it's not Philly or Pittsburgh, it's Harrisburg. It's always something like, what the fuck, you know? And I thought it was because people initially thought that that was the town that was going to be the shit, And then it stopped being the shit, and another town became the shit, but they already made it be the capital, and they were too embarrassed to say that they made a mistake. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the people like the Jonas Brothers right now, you know? The Jonas Brothers are the musical equivalent to the city of Albany. That's what I'm trying That's what I'm trying to say there. So anyways, this guy tries to claim, he says, on the topic of why cities like Harrisburg and Albany are state capitals over Philly or New York City, the reason is because most state capitals are located geographically in the center of the state. That way, local government officials wouldn't have to travel across the whole state to get to the capital. There are a few exceptions like Carson City and Tallahassee, but overall, that's the general reason why shit cities are capitals. Is that true? Wait a minute. Boston, that's not in the middle of the state. Is Providence? Providence kind of is. I don't know. Is that true? I actually got into an argument with a guy the other day, Pete Dominic, a comedian, and he goes, cite your sources. You need three sources, just like journalism. And I realized that not only do I not have three sources, I usually don't even have one. I just have my gut going, eh, that sounds like fucking bullshit. And then I just spin it so I sound like I know what I'm talking about. So can anybody back up what that guy's saying? Is that the real reason for that? Huh? Anybody? All right, that's it. Let's get into the questions for this week, the podcast questions. Question number one. Hey, Bill, I have a question for your podcast. If you were locked in, this is a great question, by the way. This is one of the greatest questions I have ever gotten, okay? This guy is setting the fucking bar for podcast questions. All right, here is the questions. Here's the question, sorry. If you were locked in a gymnasium full of hundreds of unarmed six-year-olds of various weights, heights, races, and temperaments, and all you had were the clothes on your back, how many of them do you think you could kill before they overpowered you? What a fucking great question. All right, so obviously I'm setting all morals aside here. If you set aside all morals and all feelings of guilt, and or maybe I just felt like I was right, like these were evil kids. I'm trying to think of a reason why a gymnasium full of six-year-olds of various weights, heights, and races and temperaments. How many do I think I could fucking kill before they overpowered me? Let's see here. The average six-year-old has got to be about, are they 4 feet? They're not 4 feet tall. Like fucking Tim Duncan was probably 4 feet tall when he was six. Are there any future NBA players in this? If they're not, if they're just going to be like accountants and fucking, you know, occasional wife beater, that would be the tough one. I think, you know what I'd have to do? Do they know I'm going to overpower me? I'm just going to have to assume. Like, if they know that I'm coming in there as the killer of six-year-olds, so they all banded together to try to slay me. I mean, I think the first thing I'd have to do, Not to hack off of ESPN analysts here and use one of their expressions, but I'm going to have to hear. I think the first thing I'd have to do is I'd have to set the tone. And by setting the tone, I mean I just have to do something so fucked up to the first wave of Braveheart six-year-olds coming at me that I would have that give those that second wave that split second of thinking about what the fuck they were doing, right? And I'm talking about leg sweeps, the kind that would blow out an adult ACL, okay? I'm wearing Timberlands, and I get one of them with one of those. You know, you remember that move, What's-His-Face used to do, Andre the Giant, when they throw a dude off the ropes and he just stick his foot up? I don't know, man. I don't know how many I could get. How many I could kill? I'd have to fuck them up first and leave them dazed, and then I'd have to go back to finishing them off. But if I just had to use my fist, man, I mean, you know, even though they're six-year-old, that's still a skull. It's going to hurt. Wow, I'm getting really creepy with this, aren't I? Okay, I would say I could probably fuck up. I could kill about 11. I could kill 11. But, you know, I think that I could kill a number that low is because I remember one time on the Discovery Channel, I saw this wasp enter this beehive of these honeybees, and like the wasps or whatever the fuck it was can destroy the honeybees. They can kill like 100 to 1. They can destroy these fuckers. So what happened was he went in there, he was doing surveillance, for his wasp or his hornet nest, and then he's going to go back and get his boys, and they were all going to come back, or he's sending out a signal for them to come. So what he didn't realize was the honeybees saw him, and they started, like, wiggling their asses as a signal, and what happened was is at the exact fucking moment, all the honeybees jumped on the fucking wasp or the hornet at the same time, and they were on top of him, and they started, like, basically dry humping him. But what they really were doing, they were vibrating. And I guess a hornet can only survive in temperatures up to 116 degrees, where a honeybee can go up to 118 degrees. So these motherfuckers, they vibrated to the point where the temperature was 118 degrees. 1 degree fucking more. No, wait, 117 degrees. 1 degree more than the hornet could fucking survive, and 1 degree less than what would fucking kill them. It was one of the greatest attacks I've ever seen in my life, and they basically cooked the fucker, and that was the end of him. So, if those six-year-olds knew I was coming, and they all jumped on me and started fucking vibrating, being a redhead, I mean, once they got over 80 degrees, I would be fucked. I'd be passed out, and that would be the end of it. All they'd have to do is drag my unconscious carcass out into the sun, and then that would be it. That would be it. Death by third-degree sunburns. All right, Jesus, I'm like out of breath from answering that one. Okay, now we're getting on to overrated, underrated. Then I got to get on with my day here. As do you. Who's kidding who? Why am I acting like I'm the only busy one? All right, for those of you new to my podcast, last couple of weeks, people have been sending me in their list of stuff that they think is overrated and underrated. I'll say, as a new UCLA Bruin fan, you know what I find fucking overrated? The fucking Tennessee Volunteers. What do you think about that? Ranked 18th against UCLA. Were they ranked 44th? The third-string quarterback who had a Jekyll and Hyde game. The guy threw four pickoffs, one for a touchdown in the first half. And then he came out in the second half like fucking Joe Montana, Kurt Warner, and maybe even Fran Tarkington. All right. You know what actually is overrated, is underrated, is a man's ability to shower, shave, and be ready and in the fucking car within 15 minutes. I experienced that this weekend when Vinny Brand, the beloved owner of the Stress Factory in New Jersey, took me out on his boat, okay, and we came back. The show was in an hour, and there was some sort of boathouse, and he's like, he talks like fucking, you know, a Muppet. He's like, oh, I gotta go in there, I gotta take a shower. Just hang on a second. He leaves me in the car with his awful fucking Bruce Springsteen CD, because everybody in New Jersey loves Bruce Springsteen. So he goes in there, and I'm thinking it's going to be, oh, fuck, he's going to be in there for 25 fucking minutes. This dude, in and out, came out, you know, he looked great, smelled of man soap, and he was fucking ready to go. He actually made me feel unclean within 10 minutes. It's an incredible thing. So that's my overrated, underrated for the week. Okay, here's everybody else's. All right, overrated, Stella beer. It tastes just like Budweiser, and every non-tasting having Schlepp insists it's a quality beer. I guess nobody's heard of Lagunitas or Dogfish Head. You know what? I've never heard of those either. And I can't pass judgment on those, but those sounds like those kinds of beers that I see when I go to Colorado and there's those rafting, hippie, I'm into Dave Matthews, Bergenstock, hacky sack fuckers drinking that kind of shit. You know, when you go down there and they have those fucking microbrews. I think microbrews are overrated. But the best one I went to was the one I told you down on Nantucket, Cisco Breweries, man. God damn it. I'm still waiting for my vodka, by the way, you sons of bitches. I understand your mom and pop, but what the fuck? I got 3 bottles of AAA coming my way, and I've since quit drinking. Maybe they listen to the podcast. All right, overrated. Hyped up bachelor parties. Oh, isn't that the truth? You always think it's going to be like a fucking movie. This guy says, if you have to wear a T-shirt that says something like, stick a fork in them, it's almost guaranteed that it's going to be a queer fest. Especially, there's definitely going to be at least one dipshit that is way too into taking pictures. I know. How gay is that? Guys can't take pictures. That's fucking gay. You want to hear something gay about me? I'm actually into flowers. To a, like, it's so gay, it goes beyond gay and comes back into heterosexual. I think. No, it doesn't. Maybe it comes to sort of gay, heterosexual. I don't know. I like flowers. I realize that about myself. I bought a couple of vases, and every week I come off the road, I was actually arranging them today, like measuring the stems and looking at the colors to try to set them up. I got like these daisies, right? I got one is yellow, one's like this sort of like, you ever see a Fender Strat when they got that sunburst finish? That's what it looks like. Then I got like these three lavender ones. So I put the lavender ones in the back. They're like the backup singers. You know what I mean? You know, like those big black chicks they always have behind the skinny white girl who can't fucking sing, you know? That's how I arrange them. I put the pale ones out front. That's like Paul Simon. That's what it is. It's like Paul Simon on the Rhythm of the Saints tour. That's how I arrange them. And I don't know. I look at them. They make me feel good. And you know what? I'm comfortable enough with myself to be able to admit that. All right, another overrated thing. Somebody said Notre Dame. And he said, I can go on forever about this one, but the amount of ass that a blue chipper gives up not playing in places like South Beach, Miami, or Southern California because he just had to wear the gold helmet sickens me. Oh, isn't that truth? That's the truth. Yeah, but if you play for the University of Miami, man, that's a fucking dangerous place. That's a goddamn dangerous place, man. You guys have fatalities on the regular on your team. Did I just say on the regular? What, did I rent fucking Fridays last night? How do I start off saying bananas, and then I go with on the regular? You know something? I always wanted to go to University of Miami game, but I wanted to go when they played in the Orange Bowl. Now they play in the Joe Robbie. It just doesn't seem right. You know what I mean? Okay, another thing. Overrated. Asian pussy. I'm not sure what I was expecting, but I'll be honest, I was expecting more. Well, did you ever think that maybe the Asian you hooked up with wasn't good in bed? I mean, you're going to judge an entire continent? You know what's funny is when people say Asian, immediately, myself included, doesn't everybody think, you know, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Vietnamese, anybody, you know, with the quote-unquote Asian eyes, whatever the politically correct way of saying what the fucking Spanish basketball team was trying to do. But that also could mean you hooked up from somebody from India and they stunk in bed. You know what I mean? I think you should listen, there's fucking hotties. You know what? This deserves a follow-up question. How many Asians did you hook up with before you decided to douche an entire continent of pussy? I mean, that's pretty amazing. I mean, that's one of the biggest continents out there, if not the biggest, is it? I have no fucking... It was Africa bigger? Africa's bigger. But I got to tell you something. Asia's on the rise, too. So, you know, watch what you say, okay? You saw what China did in the Olympics. If they can do that on the rings, just think what they can do in the fucking, I don't know, computer industry. All right, let's get to underrated. Underrated. This guy says early 90s gangster rap videos. Hands down, the greatest videos ever made. Just a bunch of black dudes hanging out in Compton with their baseball caps blurred out. I miss those days. I got to agree with you, man. Those were fucking great days. Remember that time there was that really pretty girl at the party and they all shake up their 40s and they dump it on her head because, you know, she thought she was the shit. You know what the reality is? Is they were looking at her thinking that she thought that she was the shit. For all you know, she was probably insecure, like a lot of beautiful women are. They always got some sort of hang-up. Oh, my God, I hate my ankles. You know, so she was probably thinking that because she wasn't wearing jeans. She was wearing that little hoary outfit. So she's actually in her head, which caused her to have a shutdown look on her face. So then Snoop or whoever, Dre or Warren G, whoever the fuck it was out there in Cali, they all say, look at this bitch. She's all fucking stuck up. And then they shook up their 40s and they dumped it over her fucking head. And she probably ran home crying, thinking that they did it because they didn't like her ankles. And you know what? That probably led to her being a stripper. That's how it happens. All right, underrated, Ricky Gervais. This guy's made two great TV shows in less than five years of each other, and he still doesn't get the kudos he deserves. Maybe it's because there's no laugh track. Who knows? I got to tell you something. Ricky Gervais is a fucking genius. And if you never saw the original version of The Office, no offense to the American version, it's unbelievable. That guy is a genius. That one, I can't remember what the episode was about, but that one where he plays the guitar in the middle of the meeting is the most uncomfortable, hilarious fucking thing I've ever seen. And that guy, I like how he has a drinking problem and how being an alcoholic is still funny in England. You can make fun of people having drinking problems. Over here, it's, oh, we got to have an intervention. Why are you doing this to yourself? All right, we'll wind it down here. The movie Basketball. David Zucker and the South Park guys together. Very underappreciated movie. You know what? I got to rent that because when I looked at the trailer, I'm like, that looks fucking stupid. And then a comedian that I respected saw it and told me it was hilarious and it was a good movie. And I'm going to rent that. I'm going to rent that fucker. Speaking of which, I finally saw Miller's Crossing end to end. And I got to admit, John Turturro is fucking unreal in that movie. God damn it, that was a good fucking movie. All right, last thing for this week's underrated list is Rage Against the Machine. This guy says, in my opinion, the best band in the past 20 years. Wow. And for all the shit that's going on in the world now, their music was way before its time. That original album is genius from start to finish. My only complaint was when I saw them at Randall's Island last year, it was Rage Against the Machine, brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. That upset me, as well it should. As well it should. But you know something? That's what happens after a while. After a while, you get into middle age, and you're like, you know what? At some point, I'd like to sleep on a bed. I'd like to have a fucking couch. And you know what? I drink Rockstar Energy Drink. It tastes good to me. So if they want to fucking finance the goddamn tour, what do I care? I mean, do they have 8-year-olds putting Rockstar drink into fucking Coke cans over in Thailand? Because if that's the case, I won't support it, okay? But if it's somebody who used to build fucking, I don't know where the fuck I'm going with this. Anyways, I want to thank everybody for listening to my podcast. And like I said, if you're new to my page, which I keep saying because I'm hoping I have some new people with the new special out. I do one of these every week to give you a laugh. At the beginning of the week, I answer questions. People send in their underrated, overrated lists. I'm trying to get a new list going because I'm starting to think that one is. I think we've pretty much handled it at this point. Keep sending those in, but if anybody wants to start a new list, please by all means, because I do not have creative control over the podcast. If you want to switch the direction of it, just send me a funny fucking email that spins me off. I'll babble about something else. Maybe somebody else will add to it, and that's how it happens, huh? Isn't that interesting? All right. So this week, coming up, I'm going to be, I'm actually doing a college gig with Charlie Murphy at UMass Amherst in Boston. Now, that's a private show, so that's only for students, unless you somehow, wink, wink, figure out a way to sneak in, which you didn't hear here, which of course you did, because now it's the podcast. I don't advocate doing that. I don't advocate putting on a baseball hat and looking like you're of college age and trying to just sort of walk in with the rest of the students. I do not advocate doing that. Okay? Don't do that. That would really make me upset. All right, there. I'm in the clear now. And the following week, September 11th through the 11th, well, I think the 13th, I'm going to be at the Punchline in San Francisco. And the weekend after that, what's 11 and 7? 11 and 7 is 18, 19, 20, and 21. I will be at the Funny Bone in Richmond, Virginia. I'll be visiting my buddy Sludge out there on the radio, and I'll be performing right down there at the mall, right across from Dick's Sporting Goods. Huh, you like that? Right back down to earth. 1 hour special, I'm on top of the world. 2 weeks later, I'm performing across from a Dick's in Richmond, Virginia. There's a fucking reality slap for you. And that is it. And the new DVD will be out of the special on September 16th. And I will be selling that fucker at all my shows, and I'll be autographing it. And if you buy it and you just want to come to one of my shows and bring it up to me and you want me to sign it, I'll sign the fucker because I appreciate you buying it. And that is it. And for those of you who want to know what the extras are on it, really quick, I have the Philadelphia Rant is one of the extras, the classic cell phone footage from the show in Camden, New Jersey, where I got booed in front of all those people. Yeah, everybody knows what it is. So that, I got that on there. I got the uninformed one where I had the my radio show where me and Joe got in a huge argument, and then we tried to settle it with a drum battle. And then I got some other footage of me just going around to the New York clubs talking about different horrific sets that I've had over the years, just telling the story. So a ton of extras and all that bullshit. And now I'm done babbling. Thank you so much for listening. You guys all have a good week. And next week, I actually will do it on Monday, on the Monday Morning Podcast. There you go. Everybody have a good week. All right, bye.